Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Midnight, straight up! Here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Listen to this stat. The Yankees have gone 20 straight games without scoring more than 5 runs in a game for just the 7th time in franchise history. The last two occurrences were in 91 and 1968. The Yankees are the only team in baseball this year to go that long without scoring 6 runs in a game, which just shines a light and really puts it out there how bad this offense has been. But I also look at an offense right now with no Judge, no Stanton, a struggling Bellinger, a struggling, although he's popped a few home runs lately, but a struggling Ben Rice. Austin Wells is just pathetic at this point. Ryan McMahon should not be a starting third baseman for anybody, let alone the Yankees. Jazz is not having the type of year that you're looking for. Paul Goldschmidt is mired in a massive slump. You know, everything is going wrong for this team. And that's why they are 5-15 since June 18th, which is, oh, by the way, the worst record in baseball. And they've scored 56 runs in their last 20 games, which is the worst in baseball. But I do believe ultimately through trades, through these guys that are injured, that are coming back, and by these guys, I mean, gee, I don't know, Aaron Judge and Stanton, and also you're getting Max Fried back. With all of that, the Yankees, when it comes down to August, September, October, you're going to see a completely different lineup and a completely different baseball team, and I believe completely different results. I think back to 24 where they went, I think it was the month of July or June, it was one of the months, but they had the worst record in baseball for that month, the Yankees did. And when the dust settled, they got to the World Series. Similar to this year, the American League was weak. You know, they got two central teams, the Yankees did, which is always advantageous for them. So there's a path, a really good one for the Yankees to get back to the World Series, and I believe they will. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Teddy joins us from Yonkers. What's up, Teddy?
How you doing, Yogi?
Hey.
What else can I say about the Yankees? I've been a Yankee fan since, like I said, 1960,
mm-hmm.
59. They call me numbers because I was a math teacher for 35 years, and they say, Teddy, you know,
you're Teddy Numbers. Sometimes, so that you weren't a bookie. You were a math.
No, gotcha. No bookie.
Yeah, well, sometimes you're Teddy Numbers. You think you're like a bookie or something like that.
Yeah,
but, you know, you're a barber slash bookie. But no. Okay, so you were a math teacher. Gotcha.
Yeah, I know that you said you weren't good in math and
terrible at math. But I also didn't care. I didn't put my heart and soul into it. I would copy my friend's homework and pray that I would get like a C and just get the heck out of there.
Well, you found your way.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I knew from an early age that I had the gift of gab, and I love sports, and I wanted to be in sports talk radio, and who needs math when you're doing radio? Yeah. You barely need to be able to know the English language, let alone math. But Teddy, I know you're down on your Yankees, and you shouldn't be. I right now, you should be, but I think overall, you shouldn't be.
Why? Give me something.
I just gave you a million reasons why.
Go ahead.
I just did. You're without Aaron Judge, you're without Stanton, you're without Fried. You have the trade deadline coming up to improve this baseball team, and the American League stinks.
That I agree with, but that doesn't mean that the Yankees are going to win even when these guys come back. But, Lugie,
yeah,
they're already 5 back, 6 and a
six
loss.
6 and a loss,
hour.
Yep.
Okay? You can't make up losses, okay?
No, you cannot.
And, Lugie,
and they're on the verge of losing the tiebreaker to Tampa as well.
Yeah, I know. Because, like you said earlier this evening, they have to win all the remaining games.
Yep.
And that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen.
Well, you start with one. You start with later on today or this afternoon, and then you go from there. And you don't know that. You speak very much in definites that it's not going to happen. You don't know that. I mean, you get one, and then you go from there.
Lugie,
yeah.
My specialty was probability. I know about probability, the event, independent event.
Yeah, but doesn't each game have its own probability? I mean, I know five in a row is obviously difficult, but to just you treat them as one game each, then, yeah, they can win all five.
Yeah, but Loogie,
yeah.
You need to win just not one. I know you say you take one game at a time.
Yes.
But you need to win, say you have to win 4 out of 5 games.
Well, they need to win 5 out of 5.
You do the probability for
What's the probability?
One.
So what's the percentage then that the Yankees are going to have the tiebreaker over the Rays, according to Teddy, the math teacher?
0.2.
0.2? So you're saying there's a chance. What was that whole 1 in a million talk then? I mean, 0.2 you take. I mean, you'd rather it be a little bit higher, of course. But 0.2 feels like, I don't know about that, Teddy. I'm going to crunch the numbers later. But I feel like that it should be a little higher than that.
All right. I'd like for you to ask your callers, what do they feel the chances are of the Yankees catching the division?
I think they would say it's high. It's just if it comes down to the tiebreaker where you gave them a 0.2% chance, that's where they could run into some trouble. But look, it was just a couple of weeks ago where the Yankees had a pretty decent lead over the Rays. The Rays have already had a big lead over the Yankees earlier this year around Memorial Day. It's been a roller coaster in this division. The Yankees, but you know what? They have to start getting some players back healthy, which is a little bit more down the road, and they got to make changes at the deadline, which is also a little bit down the road. So really the bottom line is, Rice has got to step up more. Bellinger's got to step up more. And the guys that are here have to start hitting. And I think the pitching will be good enough to start winning some games.
Okay, Loogie, come September, if the Yankees are out of it.
Out of what?
Mathematically, that they won't
win
the division.
Got it. Okay.
Are you going to do a mea culpa?
No.
And recognize
no,
what
I'm
Teddy's...
Not.
No. Why not?
What do you mean? Why not? What are you talking about? You want to make? What do you mean? First of all, what does that even mean? I have to stand on top of the desk
no,
and say that Teddy, the mathematician, was right.
Teddy
numbers.
Why can't people recognize and look in the mirror and say to themselves, "I was wrong"?
Yeah, but you don't want me to look in the mirror and say I was wrong. You want me to come on the radio and say I was wrong. Is that what you're trying to? And first of all, did I say they were winning the division?
You did.
No, I didn't. I said they could win the division. I said they're going to lose out on the tiebreaker in all likelihood because of the math, because of Teddy numbers is math. But as far as winning the division, they absolutely can do that. They were just leading the division a couple weeks ago. Tampa's not a juggernaut. They could go through a bad stretch. It's baseball. There's 162 games.
All right, a lot of factors have to happen.
Well, what do you want from me, Teddy? What do you know what? It's your world. I'm just living in it. So what are you looking for me to do here in September?
If I'm wrong, I'm going to call you up and say, this is Teddy. I'll do a mea culpa and say I was dead wrong.
There you go.
And I acknowledge it.
That's I agree. Done. Deal.
I would like you to say.
Oh, what do you mean,
Teddy?
Well, hold on a second, Teddy. I might have to let you go here. Your phone is getting a little staticky, but you know what? I mean, we know that if the Yankees do make if they win the division, you're going to do your what is it called? Mea culpa. Mea culpa.
Mea culpa.
Gotcha. You're going to come on the radio and basically say, Loogie, you were right, I was wrong. I think that's a great deal.
And if it's not going to happen, and are you going to do a mea culpa when I call up and say, this is Teddy? Hey, Teddy, I owe you a mea culpa.
Now I owe you a mea culpa? How many mea culpa? Then I'm going to owe everybody. The problem with this, Teddy, is if I owe you a mea culpa, I'm going to owe everybody a mea culpa. Then I'm the guy that owes mea culpas all around town. You know how many people listen to the show and call in? Then I'm going to, if I give you a mea culpa, then I got to give everybody a mea culpa. Does that make sense? Where you, Teddy, just give it to one me, the host. If I give you the mea culpa, then I got to give everybody a mea culpa. Then I'm short on mea culpas. Then I only have so many mea culpas that I can give in a year. What am I going to give them an all for one in this spot?
Loogie, thanks for giving me the time.
Yeah, you got it, Teddy. It's always a pleasure. Teddy Numbers. I'm sorry. I mean, to me, it sounded like a bookie. You know what I mean? I got my guy Teddy Numbers. He's going to come by and crunch all the numbers. But no, I did not like math when I was younger. I've said a lot of disparaging things about math, which I don't really feel like doing now because it worked out for me. It doesn't mean it's going to work out for you. If you feel like math is important, I just, my thing with math is now that I have a calculator on my phone, you know, do I need to even take math anymore? I don't know. But when I tell you I was bad at math, that's an understatement. I mean, I was hideous at math. And when I was in math class, I would do everything in my power to just disrupt the class because I was like, this subject sucks and is stupid. It's horrible. How boring is it, too? Let's all do math equations. Gee, that sounds fun. At least like history and science and English and social studies and obviously all the extracurricular classes that you had or whatever they call them. I forgot what the name was, but you know what I'm talking about. When you were flunking TV. But math, you just sit there and you do long division. Jeez, that's fun. Wake me up when this is over. So yeah, it would cause a lot of, it created a lot of detention hours for me, but you know, it is what it is. It made me who I am today. Not really, but it actually didn't make me who I am today, but it, you know, it is what it is. I'd get to the end of the year and I'd basically tell my math teacher, I'd be like,
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me what I got. Can you give me the answers before the test? That's where we were at. So no, I'm not a good math. So I'm many Tommies, but I'm not Tommy the mathematician. So I need somebody like Teddy Numbers to help me out. Let's go to Josh in Queens here on After Hours. What's up, Josh?
Yo, what's up, Lugie?
Hey.
How are you?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, we're speaking on Max Fried before, right? He's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
When he got injured, they said they put him on a 15-day IL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. That 15-day IL, the last time the guy pitched, the Knicks were playing the Hawks, bro. Like,
crazy.
What are we doing?
I know. That's actually a good way to put it.
15-day IL. It's been weeks. It's been like months.
Yeah, and apparently all he's doing is facing hitters this weekend. So that's, well, I would hope so. That's a necessary step to face hitters. So who knows even really when he's going to come back, but maybe they're just taking it easy. But I would guess that it would be by the end of July. But who knows? Like you said, the Knicks were playing the Hawks the last time we saw Max Fried on a mound for the Yankees.
Yeah, but like, why are they not honest with us when they get injured? It's just like they don't know, or it's just like...
Yeah, you know what? You're not the first person. There are people in my life that are off... air think that the Yankees are dishonest with injuries. Maybe they just don't know. I mean, when Fried first went down, everybody thought or speculated or worried that it would be season long. It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case, but yeah, maybe they didn't know, and that's why. But it's been longer than I think that they thought. That's for sure.
Yo, Tommy, gotta get Chad out of here. He's driving me sick. I can't deal with him no more.
Yeah, I talked about this earlier. The fact that Aaron Boone was criticizing him about the lollipop makes me think that Aaron Boone sees the writing on the wall and that Jazz Chisholm is on his final sort of legs here as a Yankee. Now, I don't think he gets dealt at the deadline, but I don't think the Yankees are bringing him back, barring, you know, a crazy run, and he's a big part of it.
Yeah, I think he should use Aaron Judge's bat more often. Maybe he'll get some more hits, you know?
Yeah. And Josh, I got to let you go, though, just because a little bit of the background, but I appreciate the call. Yeah, and I defended Jazz with the lollipop. So I know Yankee fans, a lot of the lackadaisical and the lollipop and the interview he did with reporters where he just stared at his locker the entire time and some of the antics, it gets under people's skin. And I'm sure that it bothers the Yankees at times. But if the guy's producing, if he's going 30-30, then you look the other way. But that hasn't been the case this year. And I thought early in the year Jazz might have been pressing because he... you know, contract year, and then he had the claim of, yeah, I'd like to go 50-50, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases, which was obviously never happening. I mean, he had a 30-30 last year, but why wouldn't you just bump it up to 40-40? Why did you pass 40-40? Wouldn't you just say I'm going 40-40, not 50-50? But I guess that's Jazz being Jazz. But I didn't have an issue with the lollipop. I know a lot of people did, and I didn't find it disrespectful. I didn't find it to be that big of a deal. Aaron Boone did, a lot of Yankee fans did, but I, for one, didn't. I mean, the lollipops are in the dugout unless Jazz himself brings the lollipops himself into the dugout, which I didn't even realize there were lollipops. So that we can thank Jazz for, because I had no idea there were. And not to bring this whole thing up again, but yeah, I mean, you could choke on seeds and you could choke on gum and you could choke on tobacco, I think just as easily as you could choke on a lollipop. Let's head out to Steve in Edison. He joins us on After Hours. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Tommy, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
So you mentioned that maybe the Yankees should trade for Rice from the Giants. Now, here's my question. He was a free agent. Why didn't they just sign him?
It's a great question. Because he wasn't on the team last year. That's the answer. And I'm not even trying to be funny. They had the mentality, essentially, that they were going to run their team back, and that roster last year was good enough this year to win a championship. That's the easy. I mean, Luis Arraez is a guy that I know a lot of people have been saying for the Yankees for years, and the reason is because, well, A, he's good, and B, he makes a lot of contact, hits for a high average, and there aren't a lot of players on the Yankees that sort of fit that description.
Right, especially now that they're striking out so much every
game. Yeah, they're striking out a million times. Luis Arraez is such an anomaly in baseball is that he does not strike out at all. It's amazing, and he puts bat on ball. He always hits for a high average. He's right around 300, if not better. He's won batting titles. I mean, he's a good hitter, and I think he would be a perfect acquisition at the deadline, and the Giants are obviously going to be sellers.
Yeah, so Tommy, here's my question, mm-hmm. which I would like your brilliance to weigh in on.
Yes.
There's a real possibility that Judge does not come back for the rest of the season, and I would say a slim chance that Giancarlo doesn't.
Okay.
The Yankees go to the postseason and potentially have a postseason run without either of the two.
No, but I also think they're both back. And you said first of all, I think Aaron Judge is coming back. You kind of framed it in the way that Aaron Judge would, that there's very little chance he does. I mean, based on the math that the Yankees gave us, which I understand they gave, I guess, a similar math to Fried, and that hasn't worked out. But the math that was given was that the way I mapped it out was, and I was being on the safer side of it, was that Aaron Judge would be back with the Yankees in uniform playing baseball games at the big league level mid-August, which is plenty of time to reacclimate yourself, stretch run, dog days of August, September, and be ready to go for the postseason. Now, Stanton, look, it's so difficult to figure out what's going on with him year in and year out. My gut tells me he'll be back at some point. He'll be ready to go for October. But yes, the Yankees, they can make all the moves they want at the deadline, including trading for Skubal, which I would not do. And yeah, you're certainly going to be up bleeps creek without a paddle if you don't have Judge and Stanton. So I'm operating under the idea that both of those guys are going to be back. And that's where a Hunter Goodman, a catcher, a Luis Arraez, you could put at third base, and he really is versatile. He can go to a lot of different positions. You add a couple of bullpen arms. You get Fried back. You get Stanton back. You get Judge back. And now the Yanks are cooking with gas. Because the team you see right now that is 5-15 since June 18th, the worst record in baseball, the team that has scored 56 runs in that span, the worst in baseball, a team that is just putting up awful offensive numbers. We know that the 17 strikeouts in the first two games of this series against Tampa, that combined strikeout total was the most strikeouts ever in the Yankees franchise history in a two-game span for Yankee batters, which that covers a lot of ground. Austin Wells is as non-competitive a baseball player that he's having he's having the worst season ever from a baseball player. I mean, I hate to laugh, but it's that bad. Ryan O'Hearn had 10 RBIs in a game this week. Austin Wells has 10 RBIs for the season. For the season. And before this stretch, the Yankees were scoring a lot of runs, and you play at Yankee Stadium, where, look, I know Yankee fans, and I promise I'm not taking a shot. You pop the ball up to right field, and you can get a home run. He can't even pop the ball up to right field at this point. Brutal. Brutal. I would DFA him. I would just get rid of him. I mean, I understand the you haven't traded for anybody yet, but it's over. Just put him out of his misery already. Same thing with Volpe. Now, there's obviously a lot more support in that organization for Anthony Volpe. And whether the rumors are true or not true that he didn't want to learn second base in the minors, that's really up to... You know, Anthony's not going to admit that one way or the other, I would imagine, right? But I'll take him at his word that he said, hey, look, that's false. Although I could see a scenario where he'd be like, look, I'm a shortstop. I'm confident I could be a great shortstop, which I appreciate. And I would back him if that was the case. And maybe that was what kind of was said and it got misconstrued and it became something that was overblown. Who knows? Who knows? What I do know is Caballero should be the shortstop this year, Lombard's the shortstop next year, and Anthony Volpe's role could be second base this year and next year. It could be a utility role, but it's not at shortstop. It's not. And that's okay. It doesn't mean he can't have a long career. And I'd like to think he'd be open, especially if he starts to see the writing on the wall. And I think the deal with Volpe is Yankee fans and I've been saying this for years, they always pick out a player, and rightfully so, but they pick out a player that has earned it, meaning they stink, and they just, all their vitriol and hatred and boos go towards that player. We know Boone is forever in that category and Cashman's forever in that category, but we're talking about a player year in and year out. So whether it's a Donaldson, a Gallo, a Sanchez, a Devin Williams, a Volpe, you know, there's always that one guy. And they kind of get blamed for everything. And I think with Volpe, it's obviously the struggles, but it's also the idea that there's favoritism, that there's nepotism. And there's this idea that he is the golden boy and continues to get multiple opportunities even though he doesn't, or he hasn't earned it. And that the Yankees, including Aaron Boone, whenever they step in front of a microphone, they sing the praises of Anthony Volpe like he is an all-star, like he's, let's just, I was going to take it a step further, but like he's an all-star when he hasn't shown at any point in his career, certainly not lately, as he has gone backwards as a player. That's the other thing, too. He's gone backwards, not forwards. You could chalk it up to injuries, you could chalk it up to whatever you want, but the bottom line is that he is not producing the way the Yankees speak of him. And I think that angers fans even more. Because in theory, yeah, hometown guy, local guy, that's that we've saw what that did with, you know, Tommy DeVito or guys that just, or even a Carl Anthony Towns that's a local guy, or any, you know, that's always a, like, should be an advantage for you. That should be a good thing. And I do think for that if Volpe was successful, it would be. But this idea that he's getting some type of favoritism, especially in this type of market, in this type of city, that is not going to fly. It's not going to fly at all. People see through that. Don't like that. This is blue-collar town. People don't want to hear that at all. Whether it's true or not, it's sort of, you know, when perception becomes reality. And Aaron Boone always just sings Volpe's praises constantly. I think he's just watching a different player than we all are, or he's just being press secretary Boone. I don't know which one it is, but I could totally understand the frustrations of the fans when it comes to this player. But it doesn't, you know, the team stinks right now. If Volpe was somewhere else, the team would not be playing better. He's just part of this problem that they have right now that I believe is going to be fixed. When? Probably, I would say you're probably going to have to, this next month might still be difficult. The Yankees have to do everything in their power to stay afloat. And then when they get through the trade deadline and they get their players back healthy, and obviously Bellinger's going to heat up, Ben Rice is going to heat up. You have Schlittler every 5 days. You're going to get Fried back, I would assume, by the end of the month. Cole is sort of righted the ship these last couple starts. But the lineup needs serious work, and it's going to get that with trades and players coming back from injury. Let's head out to Chino in Fort Lee here on After Hours. What's up, Chino?
Tommy, what's going on, brother? Hey, how are we?
What's happening?
Not much, man. Just I want to fast forward to trade deadline stuff.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Because I can't take it. Like, I'm literally sick, like, physically.
Yeah, well, I don't want you to be physically ill, but I will say this. I think it's okay to talk deadline here because, you know what, there's a couple more games left to hear in the first half, so to speak, that the All-Star break is next week. And then when we're out of the All-Star break, we're only a couple of weeks away from the deadline, and the Yankees are at a point right now where you need players here. They need help at multiple positions. So the deadline is this year is going to be so important for them.
Hopefully
there's law enforcement around. That guy sounded like he was going about 150 miles an hour. I'm a big snob when it comes to that. Well, I drive slow. I
live right by the bridge.
Oh, okay. I hate people that drive fast. It just drives me crazy. I think it's dangerous, but
yeah,
whatever.
No, sorry about that.
Yeah, all good.
But back to our convo, really important, man. As far as Wells and Volpe and stuff, I mean, given a fair credit, I mean, with Wells, as far as the RBI thing, he hasn't had a chance to knock on a gun yet. You know?
Yeah, but even by accident, it's just such a weird number.
You're right,
he's been sitting on 10 for a while, too.
Yeah. I've been to about 10, 15 games this year, and all of his at-bats, he's literally sitting there trying to fork it to right field.
Yeah.
And these pitchers know that. They're watching him. And they're just throwing breaking ball after breaking ball after they juice him with a fastball, and he just swings right over the top of it every time. He's like Spencer Jones. He can't hit a curveball.
Yeah, he seems mentally shook, too, I think. Yeah, sent down, DFA'd. It's just something that I think is mental with him as well, and that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just need to change the scenery, and maybe he could kind of revitalize his career. But, yeah, a catcher is obviously a major upgrade. They have to focus on that at the deadline. I think another infielder, you know, third base, bullpen help, all those things. And I wouldn't be opposed to starting pitching, but I think it has to be on the cheap, and I think it has to be down the list. So that's why for Skubal, for me, is not something that I think the Yankees should be going after. I just don't think
I agree.
It fits.
Evan's take on that was subpar.
I heard that. I don't know what
he's saying. We should get Skubal because, you know, if we don't, somebody else is going to get him. All right. I mean,
fair. But you're getting him the block. But you know what, though? If the Yankees were at a point right now where you looked around and you said, okay, you know what? They're as close to perfect and flawless as you can get, and they would do something like this to block him from going somewhere else, then yeah, but they have a lot of needs that they have to address. They can't try to block somebody and use a bunch of prospects to do that. I just don't think that's where their priority should be, and because of the holes that they have on this team.
Or even bank on the fact that next season is going to be canceled because of the lockout. You can't bank on that.
Yeah, you cannot do that. I know we've had a lot of callers tonight, Chino, that are like, well, you know, the season won't exist next year. Well, you can't think like that, especially if you're a general manager.
Yeah, that's a negative way of thinking. But I also just wanted to, just put out there, I mean, I know the White Sox, they're pushing for it, whatever. Yeah. But I would love for Kyle Teal to be a Yankee. Oh, my goodness.
Mm.
This guy is going to be top three catcher in the league within a year. If we get him, I think we will have less problems in life. The kid, Teal, his whole family is just a bunch of winners. Kyle Teal, his brother, his cousins, they were all Rutgers and state champions at Don Bosco. This kid is a winner. We need him.
Yeah, you need
the Mets go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want you to sell. I feel like you guys should buy, if anything. And maybe you'll strike gold with somebody that nobody's really looking at, a la Caleb Durbin, a la that guy that's on the Brewers now that they got from the White Sox, Andrew Vaughn. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Durbin's been red hot for the Red Sox.
You guys aren't that far back out. In baseball, you could be 11 games back, start of August, and be in first place in September.
Totally.
And you know that.
Yeah, no, I do know that. And I think that for it's going to be a very interesting conversation, but I love where your head's at as far as buying, because you know what? I don't want to give up. I do want to try to make a push here for the rest of the season. And the bullpen's great. Look, they got to get the starting pitching going. But, you know, the offense, the outfield is rocking. They're scoring runs now. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, in a blink of an eye, you can make up. You got to go on a winning streak, but you can make it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is not the NBA. You're not tanking for a draft pick.
Correct.
What are you going to lose when
you're trading players for prospects? That's sort of the equivalent. Yeah, but that's
about money.
Yeah, you would trade off players to build up your farm system. That's about it. Or you could do something where it's sort of a, you know, you're not trading for prospects, but maybe you're kind of hedging your bets with the trades that you make, where you're still trying to go for it this year, but also trade off pieces. Yeah, I would prefer them to buy because that tells me that the season is still on, and I feel like it is.
Right, and also just from a, you know, ownership standpoint, if you start selling, who's buying tickets the rest of the season? You got 41 more home games left. You know, what kind of message you're sending?
Yeah, well, and I appreciate the call. And as far as the message, I think it's more just about, and I brought this up with Tiki when I called in Evan and Tiki. People will go to the ballpark, meaning fans, to see young players. They will. They'll go to see Christian Scott pitch and Nolan McClain pitch and A.J. Ewing play center and obviously Juan Soto and Carson Bench. We, especially Met fans, love homegrown players. We do. And young players, they represent hope and optimism. And if this team, and I believe they will, puts this together, starts winning games, people will start to show up more. And they have been. I mean, the crowds have been good. The crowds have been good. And I think there's a lot to be positive about, especially in the outfield. I mean, these three guys, I mean, Soto, Ewing, and Benj, literally on a nightly basis, just they do something to get you excited. I mean, Soto goes without saying, but Ewing and Benj have been terrific. And AJ is just on a heater right now. Really like his game a lot. I don't see even positive Tommy in moderation, doesn't see holes in his game. Speed, pop. I mean, he's got 7 home runs. All you heard about A.J. Ewing when he first came up, well, he doesn't hit home runs. He's got 7 of them already. If you project that for a full season, what are we talking here? 18 home runs? You know what that is? Bo Bichette. 18's good, especially if you're going to hit for high average, play great defense, and steal bases. I'll take 18 home runs from a leadoff hitter. So, I mean, that's all. Oh, A.J. Ewing doesn't have pop. Okay, well, he's popping the ball for the fence up a bunch here. He's got double the home runs of Austin Wells. So I'm loving what I'm seeing from him and Bench. I really am. And Christian Scott, just stay healthy. Stay healthy because he's got great stuff. And you got to see both guys on display tonight if you were out at Citi Field or if you were watching from home. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Yankees, Mets, your calls for the next 90 minutes. It is after hours. If you're on hold, we will get to you in the next segment. If you want to join the conversation, the phone number is 888-808-1019. It is after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
12:35 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just 1 second. But first, this Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. Can we just put to bed the Francisco Lindor stuff, please? Because the Mets are not trading him. They're not, nor should they. Francisco Lindor, I understand this year he missed some time, but year in and year out, he plays 162, 30 home runs, 90 RBIs, plays great defense, great leader, clutch player, second in the MVP voting in 2024. And for the sake of the conversation, let's just feed into the him and Soto don't get along, Lindor and Soto don't get along. Okay. Doesn't mean they can't coexist as teammates and win a championship. The way I would go about it is I would hire, and I've said his name a lot, I'm going to continue to say it, hire Alex Cora. A guy that has dealt with big markets, a guy that has dealt with superstar players, a guy that has won a championship, a guy that is an alpha, a guy that is a leader, a CEO, an adult in the room. Have him come in here, and if there are any things that need to be worked on, he, Alex Cora, can do that. You don't trade away Francisco Lindor. You don't. And I wouldn't. And I know there are some detractors out there of Francisco Lindor, but I don't think it's the majority. I really don't, of Met fans. It feels like it sometimes if you go on social media, but and even listen to the stations at times, but I don't believe it is the majority of Met fans. I think most of us know the type of player he is. Most of us appreciate what he's done, especially in 24. And it's not like I'm living in the past from 12 years ago. This was 2 years ago. He's beyond capable of having that type of season again. So if I'm the Mets, if I'm David Stearns, and I'm pretty sure, you know, based on, you know, I think Heyman and Sherman were talking about it today where it's not happening. And I don't expect it to. I don't, nor would I do it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Don joins us from Fort Lee here on After Hours. What's up, Don?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, Tom?
Great. How you doing?
Thanks for having me on again. So a couple of things here. So I'm on the same page with you, 100%, dude. Listen, it's amazing what losing can do to people's minds, and it's amazing on the reverse what winning can do to the way people think about a team. So, I mean, the way it's just unbelievable to me. you know, the Mets have had a very bad luck in terms of injuries,
yes.
getting guys on the field,
yep.
the pitching issues. And look, if you look at the assets,
and even the pitching, right now, even the pitching, you could chalk up to injuries too, because you lost Clay Holmes, who was pitching as well as anybody in the staff. Christian Scott getting hurt, so they also had injuries there as well.
100%, right on point. 100%, and you know as well as I do, Tom, to perform well in the playoffs, just getting into the dance is really what you have to do. And
yeah.
to perform well,
yep.
you got to peak at the right time, like the Knicks did in basketball, but you also You need a solid three-man rotation, which I could see the Mets having with Christian Scott, potentially
Nolan McLean.
McLean, of course, and possibly Holmes coming back if he yeah. was pitching the way he was.
But, yeah, which he's been throwing bullpen sessions, so it sounds like he's on the mend and he's on his way back soon, and he was just dynamite before he got hurt, and it was a freak injury. You know, it wasn't an arm thing, so it's something that you're, like, worried about long-term. He took a line drive off his leg and unfortunately suffered an injury.
Exactly, and then on the back end, we have the strongest back end of the bullpen you can argue in baseball right
now. It's been tremendous. Yep.
Yeah, and then, you know, the lineup, you got this young outfield that looks tremendous. It seems to be getting better and better every day. Soto's yep. having a ridiculously great year, right?
If the Mets were record, you know, if they were in first place or close to it, he'd be having an MVP type of year.
Exactly. Now, Bichette's come. He's been hitting a lot better. Yep. Lindor's going to get up to speed. He always does.
Oh, of course.
You know.
Yeah.
And then you got the kid back at first base now, right? Polanco. So that can make a big difference. The catching position's as solid as anybody has, from defensively and offensively. So they're not as far off as people make out.
Definitely not. And like you said, you're never as bad as people think you are, and you're never maybe as great as people think you are. It's usually somewhere in the middle.
Right. And there's been eight teams that have been wild card teams that won the World Series since they started the wild card in 95.
Yep.
And I'll never forget the 2006 Cardinals won only 83 games in the regular season and they win the World Series. So
I like to forget that
it's all about getting hot. It's all about getting hot at the right time. Yeah, no, that kills me too.
Yeah, but I hate to even think about the Cardinals in general when it comes to them. But yeah, but I hear, no, but you're right though. And I preach this a lot where you just got to get into the dance, and then you take your chances from there. And because of the expanded postseason, it now creates an opportunity and an avenue for more teams to get in and for more of a, hey, even though we've off to a bad start or even a bad half a season, we're not out of it because there are more avenues and more teams that get in.
Right, and unlike other sports, as we know, in baseball, not always the best team wins in the playoff series, right? It's about having that peaking at the right time and having the best strong starting pitching.
Yep.
And I love your passion, Tom, and your positivity. And I'll leave you with this. I mean, to me, life is just too short to give up on a season this early. I mean, there's too much baseball to be played.
Yeah.
You just can't throw in the towel.
It's some of it from some fans, and I appreciate the call, Don. Some of it is self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm going to go on the tangent just because when we had that conversation, it kind of hit home on a few things. So the narrative about Stearns and this offseason, everybody wants to make it about Pete Alonso. Okay. It's funny that nobody's making it about Diaz and this bullpen because it actually worked out for David Stearns. So people conveniently don't bring it up. It's funny that nobody brings up the Nimmo situation because these young players are playing well, so it worked out for David Stearns. So conveniently, people don't bring it up, but they go back to Pete. Which, again, Polanco got hurt. The guy they brought in got hurt to replace Pete. But I don't hear anything about, boy, they dodged a bullet with Diaz, or boy, they did the right thing with Nimmo because it opened up avenues for Benj. And obviously now Ewing get the opportunity to play too. Nobody brings that part of it up. And McNeil's not exactly lighting the world on fire. It goes back to one player because that's the only one situation where you could say, hey, look at what Pete's doing and look at the first base production. But again, Polanco got hurt. Got hurt. He had a tremendous year last year for Seattle. He had two home runs off Skubal in October. If he was healthy, it'd be a totally different conversation now. There'd be still some Pete people that just wouldn't let it go. But for the most part, if they were getting the production that they thought they would get. Then all of a sudden you say, boy, Diaz is out for a couple months. The alleged cockfighting. Look at what they've... Now, the Nimmo one is a little bit more... People think of it as Nimmo for Simeon, and they're not grasping that it's... Yeah, technically it was, but it wasn't. So if you could just get past that and understand why they did it and what they're getting out of Benj and now what they're getting out of Ewing. And then when you also couple in all the injuries, but I'm just talking about, think about how great this bullpen has been back end and think about the disaster Diaz would be. So it's just those things conveniently don't get brought up. And it goes back to Alonso and the Orioles, who, by the way, lost again and are 42-51. And they're in dead last. That'll probably be all next week's topic. I'm looking forward to it. And I just, because it's when we were having that conversation, it was hitting me like every point we were making. I'm like, yeah, this is just... But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about what's going on, especially in the outfield. And the team's starting to score some runs. And I'm all for, if things are going well here and continue to go well, buy, go for it, make a run. And continue to watch these young players blossom. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jonathan out in Los Angeles. What's going on, Jonathan?
What's up, Loogie?
Hey, what's
up? Loogie, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm starting to like this little positive Loogie saying that the Yankees, it's an easy shot of them going to the World Series. I mean, I love my Yankees, man, but as of now, it's becoming pretty horrible right now. But
well, luckily, it's not, you know, it's not September. It's baseball. It's really a lot about timing. It's about peaking at the right time. You don't have to be the best team in June. You don't have to be the best team in July. You really, and now if you're great all year, that's awesome. That's ideal. But it's about being the best team come September and then obviously in October.
All right, I'm asking you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Dodgers, because they're hot, man.
That's an understatement.
Do you think this team is just going to keep being this hot throughout all the way to October, or eventually they're going to get hit eventually?
Look, I'll keep saying this about the Dodgers. Look, they're obviously the best team in baseball, but it's really difficult to win. It's difficult to win two in a row. It's difficult to win one in a row. They're going to win three in a row. I just feel like at some point, you know, something won't go their way, a bounce of a ball, an injury. So everybody wants to crown them, obviously, but three in a row is very, very difficult to do. If you gave me the Dodgers or the field, I'd take the field.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing, too, Loogie. I think, call me crazy, man, but I think the way the American League is pretty weak and then the way the Yankees are not playing, I don't think the Tigers are going to trade Tarik Skubal, man. I think they're going to stick with him. I just think
they're only five and a half games back in their division.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason they would do it is because they'd say, you know what, we're a couple out. We don't really feel like we can make a run. We're going to lose them in the offseason. So
they have a pretty good rotation.
They definitely do. But if they get an offer, they sort of can't refuse Godfather style. They might do it just because, you know what, it's only going to be Skubal. You know, he's going to be out of here in the offseason.
Yeah, that's true, man. Well, these Yankees got to wake up, and I'm with you, man. They got to get a Luis Arraez or someone, man. But if we got to go through it right now, I'd rather go through it now than
Bingo.
In late September.
Bingo.
And one more thing, Loogie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, do you get pretty nostalgic when you listen to Afrojack or stuff like that, man? Man, it makes me want to go back in the days, man.
With well, a lot of things make me want to go back in the days. So, yes.
Thank you, Loogie. Yeah. Have a great show, my guy.
Yeah, you got it, Jonathan. Yeah. The sort of the golden age of EDM, which was, boy, my memory with that, like 06, 07, 08, 09, like that sort of era, that was kind of the golden age of it. Still obviously very popular, but that was what I would deem the golden age of it. But yeah, to go back to be younger and less married, of course, no, I kid. But yeah, it would be great. But yeah, you want to be peaking at the right time, that's for sure, 100%. You never want to be this bad, so I understand the frustration of that. But, yeah, you brought up a good point there with Skubal, too, because You know, I haven't been keeping a like strong eye to it, but I knew Detroit was playing better, and obviously that division, along with every other division not named the American League East, is weak. So even being 8 games under .500, which Detroit is, they're only 6 games back in the loss column. The Yankees are 6 games back in the loss column of the division. So Detroit is not out of it. But they would trade Scooble, I think, if they don't play well over the next month, and or they get an offer that just completely knocks their socks off and they're like, we're going to lose Scooble. How could we pass on this? But if Detroit continues to play good baseball and they're right there, yeah, they're not getting rid of Scooble. But if I'm the Yankees, I'm not trading for him. I'm not. They're not in a position where, well, you trade for Scooble to block him from another team. Hold on a second. The Yankees need a lot on this team. As good as I think they're going to be, especially when they get guys back healthy, they absolutely 1,000,000,000% need a catcher. I think 1,000,000,000% they need a third baseman. So you need 2 bats in the infield. They need several relievers. Those are musts before you get to anything else. You want to sell me on a starting pitcher that you can get on the cheap because either Rodon is hurt or banged up or not, you don't trust him, and Warren continues to struggle, we could talk about it. But if you have Schlittler, Fried, and Cole, that better be enough. As Smokey's mom said on Friday when she gave him money, and he's like, that's not enough. She said, make it enough. Make it enough. You got 3 freaking aces on your staff, and you need Scooble too? And I'm not even saying that meaning, oh, for these greedy Yankee fans. No. I'm saying it doesn't make any sense when you also consider what they need on their roster. Sean is calling us from Old Bridge, New Jersey. Sean, how you doing?
I am doing all right, Lugie. How are you doing?
Doing good.
So, I've been hearing a lot about this Yankees talk, and today I thought it would be like a turn for the better, but unfortunately it was not the case, which is kind of a shame.
Much of the same. Tonight was much of the same, where they couldn't make contact, they couldn't muster up any type of offense, and the funk and the malaise that they've been in for the last 20 games is not going anywhere, at least for tonight.
Yeah, that's just like, we need at least a win in this series, because this is like embarrassing. This is not helping, at least in the standings.
Well, not only embarrassment, but also the standings, and also you're at a point now where you're going to lose the tiebreaker here pretty soon to Tampa, like you did to Toronto last year. So, yeah, this game coming up later this afternoon is a big one. The Yankees have to show up. They got a bullpen game for themselves, but they got to hit. They got to score some runs, and they got to get out of Tampa with a split.
Yes, that is definitely one of the things that they need to do. Same with, and for the deadline, they have to do something. They have to make trades. It's really, really important.
Yep.
Or else the downside, the real main concern is like they're gonna like crumble, and I don't want that because I'm like one of those diehard Yankee fans.
I don't know about crumble. I think that's probably a little hyperbolic, but they're gonna get Judge back and Stanton back and Fried back, you know, bare minimum. But I expect Brian Cashman, much like last year, to be active at the deadline, because I know they're stubborn with certain things like a Volpe, but they have to know that the catcher situation is abysmal, and that's probably putting it nicely. Third base is a problem too, and they have to make upgrades and they have to add bullpen arms. So I think they're aware of that, and they're gonna be active. They're gonna be aggressive, because they have a team and a league that is, you know, they have a good team that could get to the World Series, and they're in a weak league.
Yeah, it is a weak league, and I mean, because they're the best in the AL East, and I'm hoping that I would love to see like a repeat back to the World Series.
Yeah,
that would make it so special.
Sure, and remember that year, Sean, that they made the World Series a couple years ago, they had 1 month, I think it was July, where they had the worst record in baseball, much like they do now over the last 20 games, and they got to the World Series. So it wouldn't stun me in the slightest if that happened again here this year.
Yeah, I think that was 2024.
24, yep.
Yeah, I remember that too, and I was seeing that game. I thought that they were going to have that. That was so,
well, listen, you know, and I appreciate the call, but not to bring it up again, because I mean, Aaron Boone's already got enough things to deal with. But if you go Hill over Cortez, perhaps we're singing a different tune here about that series, because if you could take game one on the road in the World Series, it's just going to change the entire dynamic. That was a gut-punching, gut-wrenching, soul-crushing loss, and that was all on the manager, who's also got his... Look, the Yankees, there are several players, including the manager, that have demons that they have to slay in October. And I'm sorry, you know, I've been positive here about the Yankees, but I will not back down on this. Aaron Judge, as far as I'm concerned, did not have a good October last year. Don't give me the stats. Don't give me the hits. Don't give me the average. He did not have impactful hits. He did not wreck the series against Toronto like Vlad did. That is what Aaron Judge needs to do. I don't care that he had a couple of singles and a ball that went off the foul pole. Now, we're not going to lower the bar for him just because he's been bad pretty much every October, or certainly the most recent ones leading into last year. I'm not going to do that. He's a great player, and he should be wrecking series. The Yankees went home last year for a myriad of reasons. But Aaron Judge also, he didn't do enough as far as the impact of those hits. Game-changing hits. So, he's got demons to slay. Bellinger's got demons to slay. Boone certainly does. But I don't think they're going to have to worry about that for the first couple rounds. And it might be more if they don't win the division, which is scary. I mean, you got to play extra games, extra series, but it'll probably be against a Central team, which they'll have no issue with. They'll get Cleveland, which is usually ready to, you know, they'll get an AL Central team, which is generally a bye for the Yankees. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. If you're on hold right now, we'll get to you. If you want to, you got another hour before Gordon Damer comes your way. So another 60 minutes here of after hours, Yankees, Mets. We could even talk some Knicks, some basketball. Plenty on the table for the final couple of segments here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, here on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.